Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In today's second reading from Paul's letter to Romans, Paul gives us a very profound statement. He says, "Love does no evil to the neighbor. Hence, love is the fulfillment of the law." Well, Paul was a great student of the law. Remember, he was taught by the Rabbi Gamaliel, who was the leading rabbi of the time. From a very early age, Paul grew up knowing the Torah. You could say Paul knew the Torah or the law like the back of his hand. His whole life was ordered to the law. And yet now he's telling us we must understand the law in light of Jesus' resurrection. Now, Paul never abandoned the law, no. But he's telling us now we have to reinterpret it. We have to see the law through the lens of Jesus' death and resurrection. Christ came into this world to fulfill the law. He himself embodied the law. He was the law itself. Now, why did the law fail, or the Israelites fail the law? Because they couldn't abide by the law. They didn't accept Jesus' teaching of the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, the two greatest commandments, the golden rule. Therefore, they failed. But what Paul is telling us in the second reading is that Jesus embodies or fulfills the law. How does he do it? Well, through his life, death, and resurrection. But it's always motivated by love. Love. Now, what I want to do is I want to tackle that one single word that seems to confuse so many people when they read the Bible. Love. You hear that in Jesus in his Gospels. The last thing Jesus says to his apostles before he ascends into heaven, love one another as I have loved you. Paul writes in many of his letters for us to love one another. Now, what does it really mean? Well, to love in sacred scripture does not mean a feeling. It does not mean an emotion, nor does it mean a sentiment. When you hear Peter or Paul or Jesus talk about loving one another, what they mean by love is that it's an act of the will. To love means to will the good of others. I guess one way you could think about love in sacred scripture is that love breaks us out of our own personal world and allows us to mix with reality or the rest of the world. Good example of this. Over the last summer, many of you have probably planted gardens, whether it's vegetable gardens or flower gardens. Well, when you do that, you plant the seed, right? Well, that seed breaks open and it mixes with the soil. And in doing so, it produces a life-enhancing act. Only when that happens, when that seed mixes with the soil, does it produce life. Well, this is precisely what God wants from us. God's love is never imposed upon us. No, but instead it's always there by invitation for us to take, to draw into a deeper life with Christ. Mother Teresa would always tell her nuns, "We are going to be judged." And that's very true. We're all going to be judged. No one can escape it. Jesus talks about that many times in the gospel. But she would tell her nuns, "We will be judged by how well we loved one another." That is so true. We will. So it begs the question, how well have we loved one another? We can love or will the good of others for people that we like or even people we don't like. We can love or will the good of people that even rub us the wrong way. Now, when we love or will the good of someone, it doesn't mean it's going to excite warm or sentimental feelings. Love, as defined by sacred scripture, has nothing to do with that. Again, a good question we have to ask ourselves, how well have we loved others? Or have we loved others by playing games? We have willed the good for others so that they may do something in return for us. Kind of a quid pro quo. You know, I will do good for you if you do good for me. Well, that's not real or genuine love. That's just vain egotism. See, if we truly understand that concept of love, then the second reading makes very clear sense to us. When Paul says, love is the fulfillment of the law. And see, it also makes sense when Jesus talks to us about loving one another, loving our neighbor. The second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. See, this is exactly what they're referring to. Now, with that in mind, go into the first reading from the prophet Ezekiel, as well as the gospel. They talk about love. We would refer to it maybe as tough love. Notice what Ezekiel says. If I tell the wicked, O wicked, you shall surely die, and do not speak out to dissuade the wicked from his way, the wicked shall die from his guilt, but I will hold you responsible for his death. But if you warn the wicked, trying to turn him from his way, and he refuses to turn from his way, he shall die for his guilt, but you shall be saved forever. Well, this is very powerful, very strong message for us all, for us to love one another, to will the good of others. I would refer to this as fraternal correction, to the extent that how well do we love one another, to the point that we're willing to try and correct their behavior. Give you some examples. For some people, they can't help but engage in gossip. Worse yet, critiquing others. It's very easy for us to critique others. Now, there's a reason why people engage in this, is because it makes them feel better about themselves. Now, there are some people deep down that feel afraid of themselves, of others in this world, or they feel unrecognized, underappreciated. Well, the best way to fix this problem is to drag other people down, such that what? The lower I'm able to drag people down, the higher or better I appear or feel in comparison with them. The lower I'm able to drag people down or someone down, the higher or more elevated I feel. You know, for example, you know, did you hear what she said? I would never say that to another person. Did you see what he did the other day? I would never do that. I think that's appalling behavior. So people gossip and they do all those things, you know, to elevate themselves over others. So they engage in gossip and spreading rumors and backstabbing. You know, we see this is so prevalent in our culture, movies, TV, maybe in the workplace, in our neighborhoods. But very few people confront this problem. If we know someone is doing this, well, we want to gossip about it, don't we? We can't help but feel that temptation to elevate ourselves over others. But let's look at this under St. Paul's criteria of love, to will the good of another. It's the fulfillment of the law. Gossiping, spreading rumors, in light of Paul's definition of love, Paul would say, no, you can't do this. In fact, if we know someone who's doing this, we must practice fraternal correction. It's necessary. We'll take it a step beyond that. Whatever someone is doing, they're engaged in some type of path of self-destruction. Paul would argue fraternal correction is necessary. We must speak out. We can't remain silent. If we do, that's not an act of love. I'll give you some basic examples. A parent has a son or daughter that they know is an alcoholic, but they don't do anything about it. Or a spouse, they know that their husband or their wife is addicted to prescription drugs, but they turn a blind eye to it. Not only is that irresponsible, but it's not love. See, in this case, Paul would say we have to get rid of our feeling of being reticent or reluctant and practice fraternal correction, even though it may be difficult. Again, turn to the words of Ezekiel in the first reading, or Jesus. They tell us just this. We must practice fraternal correction, motivated by willing the good for others. Why is this a problem? Because in our culture and our society, it promotes what? Tolerance, right? We must be tolerant of certain behaviors, of certain lifestyles. You know, it's none of my business. You know, who am I to judge that person? I'm not my brother's keeper. Those are all the attitudes that are so prevalent in our culture. And yet, if we don't practice fraternal correction, motivated by love, eventually, whatever behavior those people around us are engaged in, it'll affect us all. Go back to that example. The parent that knows their son or daughter is an alcoholic, but they don't say anything about them. You know, the spouse that knows their husband or their wife is addicted to prescription drugs. Well, if they don't stop or say anything about that self-destructive lifestyle, it's going to tear the family apart. Worse yet, it could lead to the death of those victims. You know, it's kind of like our own body. Our whole body is connected. There's no way the stomach can say to the lungs, "Lungs, I'm sorry that you have cancer, but you're not going to affect me." Well, wrong. Unless that cancer in the lungs is checked and treated, well, it's going to spread to all the organs of the body. And eventually the body will die. Well, so too with us. You know, we are all on for each other. I'll give you another great example. A priest friend of mine last month went on a retreat to a seminary. Well, one day he went to the gym to work out. When he entered the gym, he saw these two teenage boys, and they were wearing shirts that had words and gestures that were deeply offensive and degrading to women. Well, when he saw it, he kind of grimaced a little bit, but then went about his workout. It's interesting. 10 or 15 minutes later, a young woman came, mid to late 20s. She saw the boys upon entering. She immediately saw those t-shirts, and she immediately went over and started upbraiding them, saying to them, "You know, how dare you wear shirts like this? That is brutally offensive to me as a woman. You know, do you really treat women this way? How dare you? You know, do you really think of your mother or your sisters in this way? That's horrible." Well, my friend saw all this taking place. And the first thing he said to himself, "Well, good for you, young lady, that you had the courage and the guts to speak out." But then he thought to himself, "Here am I, a priest. I represent the church. And yet I didn't have the courage and the guts to go over and confront these kids. But this woman did." Well, she acted out of love by confronting these kids. She willed the good for those teenagers, first by making them aware of how offensive their t-shirts were, but also teaching them that all people must be treated with dignity and respect. Now, was it hard for this woman? Yeah, of course it was. She walked into that gym wanting to just work out, let alone confronting these two teenagers. Did she awaken warm and sentimental feelings in the teenagers? I doubt it. But what she did awaken in them was first how brutally offensive those messages were from their t-shirts, but more importantly, that they need to treat all people with dignity and respect, regardless of who they were. And I think that comes to the heart of the message for all three scriptural readings for this weekend. Ezekiel, St. Paul, and Jesus, they teach us, love does no evil to a neighbor. Therefore, we must always love one another, will the good for each other. Is it always going to be easy? No. Sometimes it's going to be difficult, especially when we need to apply fraternal correction. There's going to be times in which it's going to be necessary that we have to speak up. We have to engage somebody whose lifestyle is self-destructive for the benefit of themselves. And see, Jesus Christ came into this world. He lived our life and he died our death because he loved us, because he willed nothing but the best for us, salvation and eternal life. Well, it demands a response on our part. We must continue that self-sacrificing love to will the good of others. Is it always going to be easy? No. But through the power of Christ, the life that we share with him, and the Holy Spirit, we can live out that life, and if necessary, apply fraternal correction, always motivated by love. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.